This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. This week on Africa Update, the president of Guinea-Bissau was killed by rebel soldiers, women of the world unite in Liberia, and soccer fever gets underway in South Africa. For more, we've got Amira Wood. She is co-director of foreign policy in focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Hello, Amira.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you.
Nice to have you with us again. We start in the West African nation of Guinea-Bissau. The country's president, João Bernardo Vieira, was assassinated yesterday. Just the day before, though, the head of Guinea-Bissau's military was killed in an explosion. Now, Vieira has certainly had, Emira, a checkered past in his homeland going back for decades now. Is the assassination linked to the explosion that killed the head of the West African nation's army general?
Well, many say it's been a tit-for-tat there in Guinea-Bissau. But we have to remember, Tony, Guinea-Bissau just gained its independence in 1974. Before then, it was a colony of Portugal, and many say Portugal was probably the poorest of all the colonizers, so there was not very much development going on in all those years of the colonial period there in Guinea-Bissau. So the economy in Guinea-Bissau has really paid the price, and the people of Guinea-Bissau have paid the price for quite some time. But more recently, what you have had is this battle going on between the military and the civilian leadership in the country. And, you know, I have to say, Tony, when you see, especially now, U.S. foreign policy in Africa leading by engaging and establishing relationships with militaries, we are creating a new trend here, whether it's Mauritania and now Guinea-Bissau, where these militaries with the resources and the weapons and the training from the U.S. often are gaining strength and gaining power. And so what you had really was a blatant attack and assassination by the military as they are gaining their strength. They are asserting that strength, using that power oftentimes against civilians and against their own people. So I think we're tipping the balance here in U.S. foreign policy, privileging militaries, helping militaries gain more strength. And instances like Guinea-Bissau are what I'm afraid may be one of many where we see the repercussions.
Very interesting. You know, the military has supposedly indicated since the assassination that it would be willing to abide by the rule of law and whoever the next leader is. Are you buying any of that?
Well, the proof will be in the pudding. We have seen many instances when military leaders come on board and they say, oh, we will follow the Constitution and the rule of law, and then we see that absolutely does not happen. In this instance, we have seen already today that the head of the parliament, Piera, has taken over as the interim leader. That's a step clearly in the right direction. It is following the Constitution, but we will have to see what happens. And again, Guinea-Bissau is off the coast of West Africa, just on the other side of the Atlantic. And you have seen now a real privileging of the military, particularly as the U.S. Department of Defense advances its counter-narcotics efforts in West Africa. Guinea-Bissau has become a place of transshipment of drugs. And
right.
So that effort to continue to strengthen U.S. ties to Guinea-Bissau, you know, under the guise of fighting narco-terrorists, essentially, could well continue to privilege the military, which will mean continued instability in Guinea-Bissau for some time to come.
All right, let's move on to another topic. March is International Women's Month, and to mark this, Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf and the President of Finland are together holding a women's colloquium in Liberia next week. What are the main themes?
Well, this is an extraordinary thing. It's bringing together women leaders from around the world to essentially applaud, commend, and encourage greater women's political leadership, not only in Africa, but around the world. So you have Africa's first woman president and the first woman president of Finland hosting this gathering, which, you know, for a country coming out of 26 years of war, Liberia, you know, hasn't celebrated an international convening of this type really since 1979. So it is a platform to help encourage women's rights, women's legal rights, women's economic rights and economic empowerment, but also engagement of women in political processes. So there are multiple themes along the way, but all of that is to strengthen the power of women, both in formal political office and in social movements and civil society organizations in Africa and around the world.
I wonder how they're going to accomplish that. I know that in Liberia in particular, the political power of women women has been seen on a number of occasions, including the peaceful protests against Johnson. Taylor.
Against
I said
Taylor,
Johnson. I'm sorry,
yes.
Against Taylor,
you know,
excuse me.
Yeah.
How are they going to effectuate this? I know it's a big word for something simple. How are they going to make this happen?
Well, it's quite simple. Women are already there. You know, as you talked about, it was women, the women's peace movement in Liberia that, you know, organized daily marches for peace and for justice in Liberia during the Taylor period. It helped bring about the end of the Taylor period. Beautifully chronicled in the movie Pray the Devil Back to Hell now in theaters here in the U.S. I think it's more of those stories that have to come out that talk about the dynamism, the resilience, the creativity of women that are real, you know, kind of in the vein of the Harriet Tubmans and the Ella Bakers. You know, they are real fighters for justice and for peace, and they are all around the continent and all around the world.
Speaking of fighters, let's go into South Africa, where a name from the past is reemerging in a very strong political context. I'm talking about the former wife of Nelson Mandela, Winnie Madikizela Mandela. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly.
It's now, pretty close,
okay,
right?
she's back. How is that happening?
Well, you know, she hasn't gone very far. You know, the level of popular support for Winnie Mandela has been extraordinary. She is seen as very much a leader from the anti-apartheid days and very much one that has reflected the will of the people. So of all the political dances that have gone on in South Africa, Winnie Mandela has remained not that far from the forefront of the public consciousness. And, you know, I think it is a sense not only of Winnie Mandela, but of women in general. We're continuing this theme here, I guess, Tony, mm-hmm. because if you think about South Africa, you know, we should also remember that half of their cabinet, you know, 50% of their cabinet is made up of women. Over 30% of their parliament, you know, that would be comparable to Congress here, which has just 18% women, but close to 30% in South Africa are women. So when you think about women involved in various levels of political processes, Winnie Mandela is probably the most well-known, but there are many women at the forefront now in South Africa that are emerging both in the current administration and will well be part of administrations to come post-elections.
Well, our time is out for Africa Update. It's been very informative. I want to squeeze one thing in here really, really quickly, Mira, and that's it. World Cup coming to South Africa really quickly. People are excited, aren't they?
Oh, it's a fun thing, and it's amazing. A World Cup is being hosted by Africa for the first time. South Africa is hosting in 2010. The tickets went on sale already, and you hear all of this excitement around the continent of people trying to figure out how to get to South Africa and how to get their hands on these tickets. So it's extraordinary, and it will be quite a wonderful opportunity for Africa to show its strengths in this 21st century.
Amira, thank you very much.
All the best. Thank you, Tony.
Amira Woods is co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. She joined us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C.